A phrase that we kept hearing at General Council, we can put up that first slide, is all of Jesus for all the world. All of Jesus for all the world. I want to share something that I was part of the missions committee for General Council, and an illustration was shared with us, showing the importance or the reasoning behind what the part of what the reason behind what the Alliance is doing around the world. I'm going to be sharing more about things concerning General Council in our annual meeting. But I'd like to take a look at this illustration, if we can go ahead and put that up. Now, there are 50 people. You don't have to count them, trust me. There are 50 people up here. And in this illustration, that kind of represents the people of the world. Okay, percentage-wise, just assume that those 50 are the people all over the world. Now, 30% of those, okay, 13 here in our illustration, are what we would call reached Christians, those to whom the gospel has been taken, those to whom those of whom have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There are churches there, Bible schools, there are pastors in place. They are reached. The 31 crosses there in the bottom left represent the missionaries of all organizations. We're not just talking about the Christian Missionary Alliance. It's missionaries of all organizations, missionaries that are ready to go out to reach the people around the world. Now, of the remaining people in the world over here on the right side, one-third of them can be called reached but not Christian. What do I mean? That means that there are Christians among them, there are pastors among them, there are missionaries among them, there are Bible schools, so there are organizations and people there working among them, reaching them. They have not accepted Christ yet, but they are being reached. So we would refer them as reached, but not yet Christian. The rest are unreached. And of those, we can divide those into two groups. The first group over there on the left would be what we would refer to as the least reached. There are only 2% of that group that are Christian. Only 2% are Christian in that unreached people group. The other group, this would be perhaps the most difficult to reach group. There's only 0.1% of them that are Christian. Today's reality is that if the 31 missionaries of all organizations are ready to go out to the world, watch this, 30 of them will be sent to the reached non-Christian. That was shocking to me. Where work is already going on, more receptive to the gospel. Only one will be sent to the 2% unreached, and even fewer to the least reached or the most difficult to reach. That's kind of the reality of what's happening in missions around the world. Matthew chapter 24, 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Take a look at this map here. See the rectangle in the middle? It's a little bit larger than what we used to call the 1040 window, but it's kind of the same area, but a little bit larger here. That's where 80% of the world's remaining unreached people, the 0.1%, 2%, that's 80% of them reside and live in this rectangle. The Alliance is committed to reach them. So committed, in fact, that 80% of our Alliance International workers live and minister among 80% of the world's remaining unreached people. That's where our focus is, trying to complete the gospel. And this all started with a vision that God gave to Albert Simpson over 130 years ago. Let's watch.
We get to celebrate a God who is always at work in his world, and today we're going to pick a 150-year perspective. Our story is going to begin in late 1881, New York City. A leading pastor in the city has just resigned after only being at the church for a couple of years. Not only did he resign from the church, he walked away from his ordination. He walked away from salary. He walked away from a lot of things, and he had 5 children and a wife. They had no idea where the story was going to lead, but they did have passion together. They had Albert and Maggie had passion, vision, calling. Let's begin our story there.
It is Christ's presence in the gospel by the Spirit that makes it a living seed and energizes it in the hearts and consciousness of those who read and hear it. We may preach and teach the word, but he only can make the word quick and powerful, living and full of energy. And it is his presence only in and upon believers that can enable them to do those mighty works which he promised they would do.
Oh, Bertie, you are with great gifts and powers given by God. Why must you be so reckless?
Beloved, in light of this great provision, listen to the mighty promise now, and in his faith rise to claim, if thou canst, believe. All things are possible to him that believeth, and cry, Lord, I believe. Nay, not I, but thou. Help thou my unbelief. Brothers, that is all for tonight. We will plan on continuing this study again tomorrow. Farewell, and may the Lord lead your way. My dear Maggie, you should have seen it. The Spirit of God was at work in amazing ways tonight.
I'm sure it was powerful to witness.
It is thrilling to see the power of God at work in the hearts of real people, people who are starving for the Spirit. These newcomers to our country have faced so much in their homeland. I am revitalized to see their spirit uplifted with the word.
Oh, shh. Please, Bertie, you'll wake the children.
I cannot contain my joy, my dear. My cup overfloweth.
No! Well, stop overflowing all over my clean kitchen.
I tell you, Maggie, I sense the Spirit of God at work in the hearts of these immigrants. They are arriving at our shores, starving for peace and acceptance. Why, it's as if the Father is hand-delivering them to our doorstep.
Well, we don't seem to have any more doorstep to offer. It's filled to capacity as it is. Have you had any luck finding church homes for these people? I hear there's a nice Presbyterian church on 4th Avenue. Should they not also worship in a more formal setting?
I get the sense, my dear, that you do not share my enthusiasm for reaching these immigrants.
We've been over this. Bertie, we both recognize the Holy Spirit's working in this place. But we have also been blessed with the realities of a home, of children, of a life here in New York City. There are things that go along with that that we have to deal with. You cannot go about gallivanting around the world as if no one depended on you to provide. We have to face these realities, and we must continue to be good stewards of those blessings.
I realize that it's difficult to see, my dear. But as Mark says in chapter 7, we
Alfred must... Alfred Benjamin Simpson! Don't you preach to me! You know that I support this calling. And you know that I believe that Christ has placed us here to reach these lost souls. 6 months ago, you were healed by the grace of God, you were given 6 months to live, and yet here you stand. But since then, I feel like you spend so much time on your writings and your preaching that sometimes I just feel like you forget about us.
When I was a child, my father, he moved my mother and us children away from society and west into the farmlands. I remember that it crushed my mother's spirit. Now, she supported him, but she always mourned for the life that she left behind. I remember how I would get up and I would kneel down beside my little bed, even before I knew God for myself, and I would pray to him to comfort her. I realize that we are now in a situation that is different than the one you imagined for us, my dear. We must remember, however, there are certain truths which God reveals at certain times. He is always speaking to the age and the generation. He never speaks at random, but always to the point and to the times.
Meaning?
Meaning, Maggie, that we have been called here, but he has not revealed our true path. We only know a single step, but his word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Meaning, Maggie, that he has called you here as well. He has a plan for you as well as for me. It may be that he has placed me here simply to call you, and that you will have a far greater impact on the kingdom than I. Think of Priscilla. One can almost infer that by the way the apostle speaks of this beautiful pair, that she at last becomes the stronger nature of the two. In the first references to them, it is Aquila and Priscilla, but toward the last, it is Priscilla and Aquila, and the devoted and faithful woman moves to the front.
No, my calling is to be Mrs. A.B. Simpson, and I will not hear of being called by any other name. My place is beside you, in support of you. The Heavenly Father has created me for that purpose. And you... you have been blessed with the amazing abilities to preach and lead. But are we being bad stewards of those gifts to use them in such an unstructured way? Should we not be more careful about wasting them?
Does the Lord clearly bid this, or does he keep me free at present for wider work, as I've often desired as an evangelist? Or does he bid me accept this special charge and allow him to open the way in the future for whatever else he may have? What I know, Maggie, is that I was not to stay in the traditional church setting. My calling was to leave the formal pastoral role with its prestige and its lucrative salary. What they wanted, Maggie, was a conventional parish for respectable Christians. What their young pastor wanted was a multitude of publicans and sinners.
But there is a price to pay for leaving that setting. You have a calling, but there are no pews to fill. You have a message, but there is no room for those who want to hear it. And we have 5 children, 5 mouths to feed, 5 children who go bigger every day. All 5, needing shoes cobbled and clothes mended. And all 5 who grow hungry without that lucrative salary.
Did not the Lord provide the quail and the manna for the Israelites during the Exodus? Did not Elijah eat the bread and the meat as brought by the ravens, as directed by God? Did not John the Baptist eat the locusts and the wild honey while preaching in the wilderness? And the Lord brought those who would listen. My dear, I do not pretend to know the future. I can't even imagine how the Father will provide for the simplest of needs for us and the children. I don't even know where I am to give this word. All we have is this small house and our small yard. But I will use what we have to serve him. I will continue to preach in the yard, not knowing who will listen. I will continue to write, not knowing if I will receive payment. I will continue to give and to serve, not knowing from where our next meal will come. Maggie, I have always had an understanding of the awesomeness of God. But due to that most miraculous healing that you mentioned, I have gained new insight into the ability of God to meet our earthly needs and to meet us in the darkest hour.
Wow. Then you were right to leave. I believe in you. I believe you are on the right path. But what that path might look like, I do not pretend to know.
I believe in reaching people, Maggie, all people. I believe in winning all of New York for Jesus Christ. I believe in the magazine he is calling me to write. I wish to speak to people about Jesus, and Jesus only, not ideas, not doctrines, but Jesus Christ as the life and the source and the sustaining presence of all of our life.
Well, then we are in this together. We are convinced of the leading of the Holy Spirit that brought us to this time and place. But we cannot ignore that we also have children and a need to feed them. We must care for the lost souls that are out there. But we must also care for the souls that are in here.
I must admit, my dear, I am mightily flawed in my balance. I am praying for your love and your grace in this area. You are a perfect partner in this regard.
Well, I believe you know who you are to reach. But it begs the question, what can we now expect? How do we balance our current blessings and callings with the new invitations and missions that we know God has for us and for our family? How do we move forward in the Lord's work while at the same time continuing to love and build into those already in our influence? Where will all of this lead? Oh, Bertie, where do we go from here?
Maggie had to wonder. Her husband had resigned from a position that in today's equivalence paid $110,000 a year. They once had a home, ordination, prestige, position, and 5 young children. Now, they have no ordination, no job, no church, no income, and a home that is too small for Albert's ministry and their family. Thomas Edison has recently launched a power company, and the light bulb is now beginning to be in circulation, and Albert has hung a newly invented light bulb in his side yard so he'd have somewhere to preach. Many of the statements that you heard in the drama were direct quotes from Simpson's own messages and writings. They believe they were following the call of God upon their lives, but they had no way of knowing where the calling would lead them. And there had to be many nights that closed just as our drama did, wondering. Maggie had to wonder. Her husband had resigned from a position that in today's equivalence paid $110,000 a year. They once had a home, ordination, prestige, position, and 5 young children. Now, they have no ordination, no job, no church, no income, and a home that is too small for Albert's ministry and their family. Thomas Edison has recently launched a power company, and the light bulb is now beginning to be in circulation, and Albert has hung a newly invented light bulb in his side yard so he'd have somewhere to preach. Many of the statements that you heard in the drama were direct quotes from Simpson's own messages and writings. They believe they were following the call of God upon their lives, but they had no way of knowing where the calling would lead them. And there had to be many nights that closed just as our drama did, wondering. Today, in 20 minutes, I'm going to give a partial answer to Maggie's question. Where will all this lead? I'm going to attempt to give an overview of a story of the story that has followed almost a century and a half later. We can celebrate that the questions of the kitchen led to the advancement of the kingdom. Alliance family, join me on an Alliance world tour. We're going to begin in North America. Dr. Simpson, we all know the stories of how by faith Simpson started publishing The Word, The Work, and The World, a missions magazine that still exists today as the Alliance Life. A single church, the Gospel Tabernacle, still ministers today, not only in New York City, but throughout the United States in 2,000 churches in 35 languages, including three new American Sign Language congregations in Oregon, Ohio, and Maryland. Those 2,000 churches, just in the last decade, baptized... No, that's the capacity of a local stadium. Baptized 122,000, more than would fit in that stadium, in U.S. churches alone in the last decade. And by faith, Simpson launched the Missionary Training Institute, which still stands today as Nyack College. By faith, Simpson sent some of those first graduates as pioneer missionaries to the Congo. 20-year-old John Condit led the small team, but within 2 weeks of their arrival, fell victim to malaria and died. Just a few months later, three of his colleagues returned home. Only one worker remained. Yet today, the Alliance Churches, the DRC, minister to more than 1 million believers. And throughout sub-Saharan Africa, there are now more than 2.3 million people worshiping Jesus in Alliance Churches. In Guinea, our CMA team helped curb the spread of Ebola while providing compassionate care for its victims and their families. We mourn with those who mourn. Gabon, Bongolo Hospital presents the gospel to every patient and family member. More than 2,300 people came to Christ through Bongolo Hospital last year alone. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Senegal, people living on the streets as a result of suffering from leprosy are receiving help. Some have been healed. 15 have received Christ. I'm hearing exciting stories we can't show pictures of, about local religious leaders seeking out our workers to discover who Jesus really is, meeting weekly for Bible study. Burkina Faso, our Envision site drills wells, giving clean water to thousands while strengthening the outreach of our local churches. Widows, rejected by families for following Jesus. Are encouraged and supported by our team. Villages, long resistant to the gospel, have now opened to the witness of Christ. Alliance workers and national church leaders have joined hands to plant 46 new churches where it previously did not exist. Mali. Last year, our Kuchala Hospital celebrated 10 years of ministry, treating nearly 100,000 patients, delivering 20,000 babies and a whole lot of surgeries. Hundreds have come to faith in Christ, and the national church has been strengthened. Let's celebrate with them. Cote d'Ivoire. Now more than 3,000 churches and nearly 500,000 members. During a recent conference, 6,000 Alliance women gave more than $3,000 to help Christians in the Middle East. Asia Pacific, By faith, Robert Jaffrey walked away from a family fortune and helped to open our work in nations we now call China, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Even as the Great Depression threatened to curtail this work, Jaffrey urged the Alliance to move forward, saying, "Do you ask, in view of the terrible economic depression of today, dare we go forward in these new fields and commence new work? Yea, rather may we ask this, dare we, in the face of the command of the Lord Jesus and in the face of the encouraging miracles he's working in our behalf, hesitate for one moment?" China. During the Boxer Rebellion of 1900, 18 Alliance missionaries and 13 of their children were martyred. Later, missionaries were forced to evacuate again due to the Communist Revolution. But by 1967, the CMA was delighted to have 18 congregations meeting throughout the growing city of Hong Kong. Today, the Hong Kong CMA has 116 churches, operates one of our largest seminaries, and invests approximately 11% of their annual church income to missions. They're ahead of us, supporting 164 workers. In one city in China, hundreds of young professionals are coming to the Lord, being discipled in their faith, and many are entering full-time ministry. I am not having time to tell a tenth of the stories that are taking place in each of these countries. Vietnam. During the 1968 Tet Offensive in Vietnam, 7 CMA missionaries were martyred, and all remaining workers were forced to evacuate. Still, the gospel advanced. Today, the CMA in Vietnam is more than 1 million believers strong. In 2016 alone, 60,000 people came to Christ in Vietnam. Our seminary in the south has been allowed to rebuild and reopen. It will contain a 2,500-seat auditorium to give place for the church to have national gatherings in a country that doesn't allow them to rent facilities such as those that we're in right now. Philippines. Capital City Church was our first in Manila. In the 1960s, college students from the outlying areas wanted an Alliance church to attend. Our missionaries helped them launch. That church alone has planted 35 more, and today there are 150 Alliance churches just in Manila. The CMA of the Philippines now numbers nearly 500,000 believers, 3,000 fellowships. It's become a missionary sending church to more than a dozen countries. Amen. 2,200 congregations make up the National Church of Indonesia. In cooperation with the national leaders, we're in a 5-year project called Sumatra 2021 to start 20 new fellowships among these least reached peoples. In a region that 12 years ago had no believers, an Indonesian pastor harvests and sells Kopi Luwak coffee. Today, a church is being planted out of his home. Cambodia. The CMA of Cambodia has 153 churches. Our Alliance workers are partnering with national efforts to make disciples in every village in Cambodia by 2021. 15 years of faithful service by our multinational team produced a New Testament for the Bunong people. 7 churches planted in Poipet have been turned over to local leadership this last year, and now our workers will move to a new area to lead another church planting work. Laos. Ted and Ruth Andrianoff were assigned to what was considered the most isolated missionary post in Indochina. They would see their missionary colleagues only once a year. A local shaman was the first to come to Christ. He later helped them translate the Bible. And within 6 months, 2,000 had accepted Christ. And today, the Hmong church continues to grow strong in Asia and the United States. Japan, due to the depression, the CMA Board of Managers closed the field in 1937. Mabel Francis respectfully resigned and stayed. At the end of World War II, Mabel was there to welcome the CMA back to her beloved country. Upon her retirement at the age of 83, Mabel received the highest civilian award that can be conferred by a Japanese government. Still today, less than a half of a percent of Japan follows Jesus. Yet, this recent college graduate literally found a Bible in a Tokyo gutter, found the Alliance Church because it was close to his favorite pizza place, and came to faith and is being discipled. By faith, the Braden family arrived in the Middle East in 1923. George often traveled by camel for hundreds of miles through open desert to preach the good news. Today, there are more than 100 Alliance churches in various forms of development throughout the Middle East, including Iraq. Jesus is the light of the world church in Baghdad. Birthed at a time of war and persecution, 10 years later, the church continues to shine. Jordan, a CMA church in Mafraq, has developed a 6-story community center. The church also provides schooling for 162 Syrian refugee children. Numerous other ministries make this church a beacon in this border city. An Alliance school in Amman offers a quality education for kids, often those with disabilities. Witnessing Jesus' love, a number of families have shown interest in following Christ. Some of our earliest missionaries went to the Spanish and Portuguese-speaking neighbors to the south. Despite pressures and dangers, by faith, they established chains of evangelistic stations, often along major rivers, and the gospel was widely preached. Today, the Peruvian church is vibrant, 179,000 members, 300 mission-sending churches who support 60 missionaries. We're proud to support a Chinese. We're proud to support a Chinese-American couple who minister to the Chinese diaspora in Peru, and no ministry is complete without a ping-pong table. My peer, Peruvian President Rojas, visited us in Colorado Springs, presenting us with a beautiful gift, a hand-carved statue of Achoski, the original ultra-marathon runners who carried the important message throughout the Inca Empire. The president said, "We want to thank the Alliance for bringing the gospel to our people." And he challenged us to continue to be heralds of the gospel. Dominican Republic. Hundreds of U.S. CMA church members visit every year to the Dominican to suffer for Jesus. I mean, to provide assistance to churches in the Dominican. Our church plant in Punta Cana is vibrant and growing. 15 adults are in theological education by extension. Did you know we have dozens of churches in Cuba? During the decades when the U.S. was not welcome, our Canadian and Peruvian Alliance teams were ministering with doors now opening to us. Amen. With doors now opening to us, we must enter humbly and respectfully. America, let's not mess up what's going on in Cuba. A partnership between the U.S. and Cuban National Church has been signed. Two of South America's most resistant nations are Paraguay, where the Alliance is planting churches, and Uruguay. In Montevideo, our workers are reaching university students who evidently like corned beef and colorful produce. And you can see the current statistics of the fruit of faithfulness in this beautiful region of the world. Europe, Some people think the church in Europe is dead. Our Alliance family testifies that a new openness to the gospel is emerging. Baptisms in Italy. In Spain, we have multiple ministries, including outreach to immigrants from North Africa. Germany, we have 5 churches in Germany. In recent years, our team has moved northeast to one of the least reached areas in all of Europe, where less than 1% of the population attends church. And now a Veteran Alliance worker couple are beginning an Arabic-speaking church planning work among Syrians. There are signs of life in France. Envisions, beautiful Genesis Center is vibrant. Retreats, young leaders in mentoring programs, 3 international churches, and a growing number of French churches. I'm told that last year in France, the Alliance had the joy of baptizing more people than in the last 6 years combined. Go Mali. Kosovo. Disillusioned by the dominant religion, a family leader recently traveled a long distance to ask one of our partner pastors to come teach them the way of Jesus. Dozens have been baptized. A new expression of the church is arising. The Spirit of God is stirring hearts. Give praise to God. The Agape Center ministers to those with various disabilities. Occupational therapy did not exist in Kosovo until our staff introduced the program in a public university. One more region, North and Central Asia. Russia. Under the leadership of Dr. Rambo, who loved to say, Russia. The Alliance quickly responded after the Iron Curtain fell. And recognizing that God had opened the door, the CMA sent its first workers to Russia less than a year later. We soon partnered with the Evangelical Christian Missionary Union, and today they worship in more than 50 churches. As conflict has arisen in eastern Ukraine, some area residents have moved to Kiev. Alliance workers and their partners provide ministries, including weekly groceries for some of these internally displaced peoples. Just 20 years ago, there were no Alliance churches in Mongolia, and it was closed to missionary work. Today, our team is there, and 30 churches are being established. And Alliance family, you are very aware that we have teams serving in places that require special sensitivity. In heaven, we will hear the whole story, but rejoice with me that in a place called Tea House, a second new believer from an unreached people has come to faith. In Long Beach, 4 baptisms were recently celebrated. According to our teammate, these young people were running down the beach, giddy with joy at the thing they had done. Green Mountains, 3 groups meet regularly to study the Bible. For many of them, this is the first time they have ever read the Word of God on their own. So, how would you answer Maggie's question? Where will all this lead? Was it worth it? Did it matter? I've taken us all over the world, giving us some examples of the fruit of faithfulness, but like the author of Hebrews, I do not have time to tell of Angola, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ecuador, El Salvador, Ghana, Great Britain, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras, India, Israel, Kenya, Lebanon, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, Niger, Panama, Portugal, South Korea, Taiwan, Venezuela, more than a dozen closed access countries, or Fiji, Finland, New Zealand, Australia, and let's sing it together, oh, Canada. All told, today the Alliance worldwide consists of 6.3 million believers worshiping in 180 languages and 22,000 churches. Family, Don't you wish you could walk into Maggie and Albert's kitchen right now and say, it matters. Press on. This is big. You're part of a grand story. God is using you. You only see a small piece of the story, but don't lose heart. And let me walk into your kitchen and your questions today, church, and say the same thing to you. As you invest energy, prayers, income, your children, as you love, proclaim, reach, and launch, friends, this matters. Press on. This is big. You're part of a grand story. God is using you. You only see a small piece of the story. Don't lose heart. So what prayer is arising in you at this moment? What response is arising in you at this moment? In your seat, right where you are, would you bow your head and just pray a response to God, please?